the Road Accident Fund. And that's one of those stories that, you know, we're kind of like, yeah, it's, you know, it's very hard for people to get paid out, but they will eventually if they don't die first. And yeah, and then we hear that the Road Accident Fund is insolvent, and then we hear that, you know, the maths isn't making sense because what? Anyhow, the Road Accident Fund, I wanted to try, it's a very, very important part of the systems that we have here in South Africa. It's also something that every person who buys fuel, whether you're buying it for a generator, or whether you're buying fuel, petrol or diesel for your vehicle or your generator, you pay a portion of every rand goes towards the Road Accident Fund. I personally don't understand why they are bankrupt when you consider that for 12 years we have all been filling our generators with petrol and diesel. And that is something that the Road Accident Fund hasn't needed to pay out on. So I thought, well, let's just get an update. Joining me right now to talk about the Road Accident Fund, by the way, you're welcome to weigh in on anything that we're discussing today. And you can do that on 061-895-1019 on WhatsApp. I'll get to the messages in a little while. But to joining me right now to do the Road Accident Fund update is Gert Nel, who's a chief legal advisor at APRAV. APRAV stands for Association for the Protection of Road Accident Vehicles, not victims, pardon me, road accident victims. The reason that I wanted to talk about this is that there was really a terrible crash today with a small car and a buggy, and five people died. And it started me thinking about the Road Accident Fund. And are these people ever going to get paid out? Because they were not, the investigation shows that they weren't actually guilty of this. So, Gert, what's your thought? Hello, and welcome to Gert.
Hi, Kathy. Good afternoon to you and your listeners. Definitely, thank you for airing, you know, a subject as important as the Road Accident Fund. I think it's important for the listeners to understand, you know, what the current situation is and that there's hope. You know, we from our side at APRAF have since 2014 been trying to convince government that there are easier ways to turn around the Road Accident Fund than, you know, trying to do a wholesale legislative change, as the minister has recently mentioned when she spoke about the Road Accident Fund. She often speaks about the Road Accident Benefit Scheme Bill, which has been declined by Parliament more than once. So, you know, we feel that there are easier, more practical, cost-effective, efficient ways to deal with the Road Accident Fund. We just need, or the stakeholders just need to be given the opportunity to share our thoughts and to dig into and go into a deep dive into what's actually needed at the Road Accident Fund, apart from, as I mentioned, a wholesale legislative change as they're trying to install at the moment.
Gert, is the thinking that the government just doesn't know how to make it more efficient? Is that the genuinely the thinking, that they just don't have the knowledge?
You know, with all due respect, yes. I think that they've not been, that they've been poisoned over the years as to the true nature of what the Road Accident Fund is. I mean, of late we've seen that the Road Accident Fund relabeled themselves as a social benefit scheme, which it is definitely not. And by the same token, they've applied their own accounting standard, which has been rejected by the court and the Auditor General. So a lot of things have changed wholesale at the Road Accident Fund outside of the Road Accident Fund Act, which we feel, you know, the Road Accident Fund, if we understand it to be a creature of statute, in other words, anything that the fund does, even the procedure to lodge a claim, is blueprinted in the Road Accident Fund Act itself. So anything outside of the Act causes all of these heartaches and delays and financial difficulties that we are seeing the Road Accident Fund is being subjected to. So in our view, all the government really needs to do is to just tap it down to the bare basics, get down to what the Road Accident Fund Act is, and just administrate it to the letter of the law. That's all that needs to be done. But we've seen of late that things are changed with the stroke of a pen, and then victims.
And there's obfuscation. There's obfuscation. You know.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I find it so interesting. I mean, what's the? Is it 23 cents? What percentage of our fuel levy is given to the Road Accident Fund?
No, it's actually quite a bit more. It's around 18 cents at the moment. Of every litre of fuel or diesel that you fill up at the pumps goes towards the Road Accident Fund. So yes, I mean, we all are, you know, trying to get our heads around the fact that they don't pay. I mean, I'm a practicing attorney as well, and we, for the past 2 months, haven't received a single payment. Now, it's difficult to explain that to your clients who've been waiting for 5 or 6 years to get their damages paid to them. I mean, and unfortunately, there's been this tendency to vilify the lawyers, as the bad people in this story. And unfortunately, you know, I think, and what we are trying to do is just to counter the balance and to make sure that the public and Parliament and everybody that's concerned about the future of the Road Accident Fund understands the true nature. And you know, just to come back to your original question, I just don't think that the people making the decisions really know, you know, what's going on. For all the, you know, just for an example, for the minister, with all due respect, to punt the benefit scheme bill that's based upon no fault, in her view, from what I heard on in the interview, is that she thinks, or she's of the opinion, that no fault will mean that lawyers will be excluded because the system will be easier to navigate. I mean, those are two fundamental rights that any victim has, is to go to court and to be able to put or to lodge your best possible claim with the Road Accident Fund. Why would you want to deny the victims that opportunity?
Because it doesn't suit them to have people who understand the law.
Exactly. They don't want people to understand why a levy needs to be ring-fenced, because under the benefit scheme bill that they want to reintroduce, the levy is not going to be ring-fenced. So if SAA or Eskom or PRASA has a financial issue, who do you think they're going to turn to? They're going to go to the Road Accident Fund's levy or the benefit scheme's allocation that they're going to get, and they're going to tap into that resource. Where we are at the moment, though, that money is supposed to be ring-fenced for the Road Accident Fund victims only.
Gert, there's so much that I still need to talk to you about. Okay, just very quickly, what is a summary of the benefits scheme bill? What is that?
Well, essentially, what it introduces is structured benefits. In other words, you're going to be assessed based upon what your background is, and you're going to be paid an annuity per month, which would be reviewable depending on the financial resources of the benefit scheme at the time, and it's going to be no fault. Those are the two primary objectives of the benefit scheme bill, is to make it no fault. In other words, anybody would be able to claim. So you can just imagine the unintended consequences stemming from that. If you already see people throwing themselves in front of cars to claim from the Road Accident Fund, I don't think government, you know, really, you know, considered how many people would now, on a no-fault basis, be able to claim just by stepping in front of a car.
I don't think the government considers the people at all, ever.
Not at all. Not if you want to subject him to the benefit scheme bill. And certainly not an annuity, because, you know, just an example, the Road Accident Fund is indemnity insurance. In other words, if you can prove the full extent of your damages, which is the basis of any damages claim, is to put you in the position that you were or you would have been in if you think away the accident, you are able to claim as much compensation as you can prove.
Yeah.
Under the benefit scheme, it's going to be a reviewable annuity that you're going to receive. And for instance, let's say a breadwinner has been injured in an accident and he receives an annuity. If he dies, if it's accident related or not, then that annuity payment falls away. So in other words, his dependents are going to be left destitute. So it's not as if that annuity is going to be paid into a estate so that his family can live, you know, on the accrual of that benefit. It's going to fall away. So you can imagine how many people are going to turn back to government for SASSA grants and that type of thing, because the benefit scheme bill essentially takes away rights, constitutional rights including, to make it more affordable.
Yeah.
And I think in the final instance, the Parliament realized in 2018 that funding two systems is simply going to be too costly, because they didn't realize that you can't think away the current liability of the fund and introduce a benefit scheme bill on a no-fault basis and think they're going to be able to fund it. As you mentioned at the beginning, they barely have the money to cope with what they have. How do they think they're going to cover a top-heavy no-fault-based scheme of liability? So it's really mind-boggling, what government thinks of, a solution-based outcome to the Road Accident Fund. And I so wish that we could have more opportunities like this to discuss and to have 5 minutes with the minister and explain to her why this benefit scheme can't work and why the fund is workable. There are definitely immediate changes that we can make and long-term changes that can make it viable.
And that is where we leave it. Gert Nel, thank you very much. He's a chief legal advisor at APRAV, which is the Association for the Protection of Road Accident Victims. And it really should be an ongoing conversation, because maybe, with enough conversations, yes, the minister will see the light indeed. It is 1 minute past 5. I'm Cathy Kaler. These views are my own.